we come, bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
When you think of the book of Joshua, what stories come to your mind? The crossing of the Jordan River? The stones of remembrance? Maybe you think about the tumbling walls of Jericho or the day the sun stood still. The book of Joshua is more than all that. It is a book of historical facts and events in Israel's story, but it's also about new beginnings for God's people. It encourages us to be strong and courageous in the world today as we claim our rich spiritual inheritance in Jesus Christ. The following is a presentation of the Heart to Heart Bible Study titled Joshua, Be Strong and Courageous. More information is available on our website at www.refugefamily.com/womensministry.
First and foremost, we're going to sing. I love how the group gets as it's the last day. I love how the... Yeah, a little there. Joshua spent the battle of Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down. One more time. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down. I needed to be reminded of that. Today I needed to be reminded of that. This morning I needed to be reminded of that. Tonight I needed to be reminded of that, that the battle belongs to the Lord. No matter what the situation, no matter what comes against us, no matter what is before us, the battle belongs to the Lord. Period. Settled. That's what we've learned from Joshua. I can go home now. Because Joshua has taught us to walk in obedience to the Lord, to continue to walk in obedience to the Lord. It's taught us what happens when we don't walk in obedience to the Lord. And we have seen that God is a man of his word. He is going to do exactly what he said he would do. And so we just needed to start out tonight with that, without just letting the enemy know. You got no place here. No place here at all. And if you are, I just want to say, if you are having a situation and something's come up and you are just like, oh, I don't know what to do. It's just, deal with this all. Oh, yeah. You walk around. You know, something came up when I was at the retreat that I spoke at in Montana. And nobody was upstairs. And I started walking upstairs going, nope, you got no place in here. Mm-mm. Hallelujah, glory to God. Nope, 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 nope. Satan, you got no place in here. You ain't got no place. Mm-mm. Not in my life. You're not dealing with that other person in your life, in their life either. So just, you're out of here. And I was talking at the top of my lungs. I'm so thankful that nobody else was there. But fortunately, they didn't sneak up on me. But recognizing that we are in a battle and recognizing that the enemy does want to rob, kill, and destroy every good thing. He wants to break down every good thing. He wants to tear us down. He wants to stop us in our tracks. And I don't. That's about all the time I want to give to him tonight, that we need to remember that the battle belongs to the Lord. The battle belongs to the Lord. He is the victor. And just have that settled in our heart. And we haven't even started the study yet. So, Father, as we just get into our book of Joshua and what we have here today, Lord God, I just pray, Father, that you would just speak into what is here, Lord, what you have for us. We want to glorify your name, Lord. We want to lift your name on high. Father God, we want to listen to what you have to say. And we want to know, Lord, that we are walking in your way. Thank you, Father, for this book of Joshua, that we have learned so much. We have gleaned so much by our own study in it, Lord. It's been more in our own study of it than it has been from anybody who has been standing up here talking. Father, that as we get into your word, we know what you have to say, and we are so thankful, Lord. We're so thankful for your presence here tonight, and we lift your name on high in the name of Jesus. Amen. Does someone have the little game, your little test thing?
Yeah.
Could I have that, please? Could I borrow it from somebody? I had my copy. Oh, the answers are already here for me. Good. So who was the father of Joshua?
None.
None was there. How often did God say to Joshua to meditate on the book of the law? Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. You know what the incense is? The incense is our prayers. So day and night, night and day, let your incense arise. The walls of Jericho. You can't take me anywhere tonight. The walls of which city fell after the priest blew the trumpets on the seventh day?
Jericho.
Which river did the Israelites cross into the promised land?
Jordan.
And Joshua told the people they should do what? For tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Consecrate yourselves. Today, God is saying to us, consecrate yourself, because today I'm going to do something miraculous in your life. God wants you to know that that is what he has to say to you. So consecrate yourself. What does that mean? Get ready. People, get ready, for the train is coming. You don't need no tickets, you just get on board. But what is that ticket? A relationship with Jesus Christ is our ticket that gets us on board. I loved what Sonia said. I don't think she said it when she was speaking, but we were talking. And she said, whenever I go anywhere, oh, there's my test. Yes.
I did,
apparently. We were just talking, and she said, whenever I go anywhere, the first thing I do is I share the gospel, because none of us know how much time we have left. And that is so true. None of us know how much time we have left. None of us. And life is always exciting. We always have something new going on in our lives, and so I'm excited for what God has for us in this book of Joshua, the things that we've learned, the things we've grown in. We have learned what obedience looks like, and we have learned what happens with disobedience, that we have to be corrected, because we have a good, good father who corrects his children and gets them right back on the path and does whatever is necessary to bring us back on the path so that we were walking with him. And so I did pray already, right? Did I pray? Did I pray? Okay, God, thank you. Okay, so we're at the end of our study of Joshua. We're on chapter 12. We finished in chapter 12. We'll pick up in September. We will pick up from chapter 13. Now, what's the study going to look like in September? In September, we will have one book that is the last part of Joshua. We will have a second book that is completely on the book of Ephesians. So they will be 6 lessons on each one, and the price will be the same as it is for your one book. So we'll make sure that we don't go over that price to make this happen. We just thought it was a better idea to separate those books so that if you are one of those people that keeps things, you know, in an order. I don't know of any people like that, but it's certainly not my house. You can have those all in order. So we're putting those together right now. So we're having the Old and the New Testament put together in one session, something we've never done before. We usually have one session is Old Testament, the other session is New Testament, because the whole Bible fits together, and that ties into what I want to share with you tonight. When the New Testament and the Old Testament coming together. Now, Tiffany shared with us when she was teaching about Alan Redpath's book, Victorious Christian Living. I want to encourage you to get that book, Victorious Christian Living by Alan Redpath. A-L-A-N is his spelling of his first name. We had the privilege of sitting under Alan Redpath when he taught this lesson, and it happened to be up at Twin Peaks. A long time ago. He's been with the Lord for a while. But what a great time that was to be able to go there. And so as I was looking at that book last night, perusing it, I was led to the foreword that he wrote in that book. And I wanted to share that foreword with you. And he wrote, this is the foreword to the book, Victorious Christian Living. The best way to vindicate the word of God is to preach it. The best way to vindicate the word of God is to preach it. Every page from the opening verses of Genesis to the closing verses of Revelation shows the watermark of heavenly authenticity. Every page is, of course, both historically and scientifically accurate. Has anybody ever told you that the Bible is not scientifically accurate? Have you ever heard that? And yet we find just down the road, just a little bit, that, oh, it backs up the science. It is scientifically accurate. It is 100% historically accurate and 100% scientifically accurate. And so while, however, the Bible has been proven to be all this, it is not primarily a book of history, nor is it primarily a book of scientific record. First and foremost, it is a book of divine revelation. It is a book of divine revelation. The whole book is a complete revelation of God's plan of redemption for mankind. We need the Old Testament, we need the New Testament to read God's love letter to us. And so we need both of those. He places it in our hands as the key which unlocks the mystery of his love, the mystery of our sin, the mystery of his justice and his mercy, and the mystery of his program of salvation. There is salvation in no other name under heaven except that name, which is Jesus. Jesus is the answer. This morning, as I was teaching, after I was finished teaching, there was a young gal who was here, and we met out in the foyer here, and she said, I'm Jewish, and I don't know what I'm supposed to believe. And we talked for a while about Jesus being her Messiah. Well, I'm not supposed to believe that, was her response. You see, that God is using us to speak the gospel into everyone's life. What are the chances of her being here? What are the chances of her being here today when we spoke on this very issue of the salvation through Jesus Christ? I know we mention it every time, but today specifically, where she was here in a place where she was learning and she asked all the questions about the sacrifices and the fact that most of the Jews don't know why they sacrifice the way that they sacrifice. And so being able to share that with her, it just was amazing. So it's, I guess you had to be there. So once we regard the Bible as a whole, it begins to take on new meaning. The Old Testament is preparatory to the New Testament. The Old Testament is preparatory to the New Testament. The New Testament cannot be understood apart from the Old, nor can the Old be appreciated apart from the New. This is Alan Redpath's words once again.
We cannot appreciate the New Testament without the Old Testament. The Old Testament is what prepares us for what is going to be in the New Testament. It was a shadow of the things that were going to be happening in the New Testament. It was a shadow of Christ coming for us. Furthermore, he writes, we begin to discover that God's way of dealing with man in the Old Testament is but a picture of his dealing with man in the New. Salvation for a fallen race was to be through the man, Christ Jesus, from the very beginning. In Genesis, it was to be the Lord Jesus Christ. That would be our way of salvation from the very beginning. But prior to his coming, prior to his death, prior to his resurrection, God dealt with the nation into whom Christ would be born in the same way as he would thereafter deal with the men individually through the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, God's dealing with Israel was a type of his dealings with you and me. God's dealing with Israel was a type of his dealings with you and me. Once we grasp the truth, the Old Testament is transformed from a book of dry history and unintelligible sacrifices. This is what the area that she was questioning. What did you mean, unintelligible sacrifices? We didn't know why we sacrificed what we sacrificed. And she became clear on that. Into a book of divine revelation. This is particularly true of the book of Joshua. And so within its pages, I believe, we shall find the secret of so much that is lacking in Christian experience today. This was a number of decades ago that Alan Redpath wrote this. It has been my profound conviction for some years now that the greatest need of the Christian church is a revival of the New Testament standard of Christian living. The revival of a new Christian, New Testament standard of Christian living. There seems to be a very wide gulf between what we believe and how we live. Between what we believe and how we live. A marked contrast between our position in Christ and our actual experience. Do I really believe what I believe? It should show up in my actions. It should show up in my character. It should show up in the way that I treat people and the way that I look at people. Too often, do we claim to believe our Bible from cover to cover, but fail to live out its truth in daily conduct? How many times have I said, I believe the Word of God. I believe the Word of God. I believe the whole Word of God. I believe exactly what he said is in there, but I cannot believe that he's going to get me through this issue. Our experience is not going with what we say. And so, before we can ever see a real movement of the Spirit of God in blessing to the world in our day, surely the church must face afresh the New Testament pattern, the whole revelation of the Word of God, in its claims on holiness of life and ethical conduct. The fact is, this is Alan again, the fact is that in, I talk like I know him personally, the fact is that in conservative evangelical circles today, there is a great deal of propaganda and program, talent and testimony, but too little progress in bringing our generation to the Lord. Too little progress in bringing our generation to the Lord. What do I believe? Why do I believe that? Why do I believe that this whole generation needs to come to Jesus? Because that's what I do believe that, and I want to put that across. The way of real blessing is costly, often unspectacular. Often there are not bells and whistles and smoke machines. When I was in Montana, we were talking about worship, and I couldn't stop saying smog machines instead of fog machines. So I just kept saying smog machines, and it came out every time. So I just, it's smog machines. That's just what it is in California. But the way of real blessing is costly, often unspectacular, and it's always fruitful. Always fruitful. This book is written with the fervent prayer and desire that somehow the Lord may use it for His glory to help many people to face afresh the implications of the cross and the pattern of God's redemption in our personal life. That's Alan Redpath. Victorious Christian living can be not only a theory to be admired, but also an experience to be enjoyed. We can have victory over sin. We can have victory over addiction. We can have victory over depression. We can have victory over this world. We can have victory over that thing that holds us if we will walk in a victorious Christian living and believe the word of God. Believe it with our whole heart. And so as we look at the book of Joshua, after escaping from about 400 years in Egypt, much of it that was in slavery, wandering for 40 years through the desert east of Egypt, the Israelites finally arrive on the border of the land that God has promised them. Remember that God promised them the land. He said, that land is yours. It belongs to you. But you're going to have to unwrap the present. Even though when you get a present, it's not a big deal to open it. It's not a big deal to tear open the paper. It's not a big deal to break the ribbon or cut the ribbon. But it's still a work that you have to do. And God has called us to open up the present. That means we're going to war. That means that we're going to have to fight a battle. The battle belongs to the Lord, but this is the body that is in that battle. And this is the mind that's in that battle. And we all need to remember that God has won the war. God has taken over the battle, but we have to open up the present. We have to do our work. We have to do that battle that's been set before us. Their mission is to take the land by force, purge it of the idol-worshiping people who live there. The land is God's gift. Just before the invasion, while Joshua was plotting his strategy, God assured him that the victory is sure if. Now, in my Bible, I have almost all of the ifs circled. That big little word. God says, if you, I will. If you, I will. So that big little word, if the Israelites continue to trust him. So you will win the battle if. That assured him that the victories are sure if the Israelites continue to trust him. Wherever you go, I will give you the land. Joshua 1, verse 2. At Jericho, before the first trumpet sounded, God told Joshua, I have given Jericho into your hand, in chapter 6. I have given Jericho into your hand before anything had ever happened. It's yours. But you have to unwrap the present. How do you have to unwrap the present? Walking around it 7 times, doing what God told you to do. That's part of the work that you have to do. The battle was won before it started. The battle belongs to the Lord, but God rewards obedience and he disciplines disobedience. And you know, I really am careful to word that carefully. Because we live in a time when we are so offended by the word punish. But what our kids got when they were growing up, was punished for what they did wrong. We called it punishment because that's what it is, right? But now we have to be so careful that we don't want to offend anybody in using the right word. And we need to recognize God meant what he said. That there is punishment, but we need to be aware that he deals with disobedience. In times of obedience, the Israelites watched God break down the walls of Jericho. He sent the hailstones to kill the enemies. He stopped the sun, which we had a nice little talk about that too, because the sun was never moving, but it was always stopped, but it still gave its light for a longer period of time until they had defeated the enemy. But when one man takes possession of something that was not his and he was told not to do it, it had to be dealt with. And God will deal with those things in our own lives. He will deal with them in a way that best suits us. He's not going to discipline us all the same way. None of my kids were disciplined exactly the same way. We had a situation one time with Bethany and Shannon. They had done something, and we had told them, we can either spank you now. Oh, she said she's going to spank her kids. Oh, my gosh, what are we going to do? You can either take a spanking or you can be grounded for this particular period of time. So they both picked grounded. Bethany came a little bit later that day, and she said, I deserve a spanking. For her, let's get it over with. Let's deal with the punishment now, get it over with so that we can move forward. And that's not that none is any better than the other one. It just is what it is. But they all turned out okay, I guess. So he went against God's order, and they lost their next battle. And when they make peace with the five kings because they didn't seek the Lord's direction, and now they're forced to defend these people who they were supposed to win over. And so they have to do that. The book's author was probably Joshua, who wrote the book during the final years of his life, about 1375 BC. He reported on the 25 years it took Israel to conquer and to begin to settle the land that God promised them. He wrote with the purpose of reminding the Israelites that they didn't win their homeland through military genius or through their courageousness. How many times did he have to say, be strong and very courageous? Get your courage on. Hang on. You can do this. You've got this. The battle belongs to me. You can do it. The land was a gift from God, but the present had to be opened. Most of the story is set in what is now called Israel, but the Israelites also had conquered a number of areas that are now have been given back to someone else, to Lebanon, to Syria, and to Jordan. Other countries came and said, you really need to give up the land that you fought for this other country because it's the best thing for them. And I don't know how we ever got to that place where we begin to tell another country what they need to give up, what they fought for. But however, moving right along out of the politics of things, after Jericho, they moved west, then the south, and then did they attack the north area, pressing past the Sea of Galilee. We read of the spies going in and what they saw in Jericho. We read of how Rahab followed the directions. She had heard what God's people can do. She has heard of their God. And so she does exactly what she was told to do. And all of her family was saved because they came in and they believed God. And as they believed God, they did experience that saving grace. The five kings come to Joshua with a lie, and Joshua doesn't take it to God first, and they're forced to protect them, which I have already alluded to. That's the time that the sun stood still so that they could continue that battle. But more of the enemy was killed by the hailstones from God than the people of Israel killed. the battle belongs to the Lord. God will do whatever it takes to take care of his kids. Just like us as moms, we will do whatever it takes to take care of our kids. Right? Yes. And then they begin to divide the land, but the wars were not over. I want to become less so that Jesus becomes the only one I serve. I want to become less so that Jesus is the only one I serve. But if I would serve, I must first surrender. If I want to overcome, I must first obey. I must be transformed by the renewing of my mind and the renewing of my character. I must be transformed. I'm not the person I used to be, thank God. I'm not the person that I'm going to be. Thanking God for that. But every day I'm growing. And every day I'm going to live for him. And my mind is being changed into his likeness. And my character is being changed into his likeness. And I really want to become that person that people say, when I saw her, I saw Jesus. That's the person I want to be. And I know that that's the person that you want to be as well. What a day is going to be when we acknowledge our failures and in spite of it still believe that we can be all that we can be. All that God's called us to be. Be all that you can be in the army of the Lord. We want to be all that we can be. God has a plan. You know, we tell the four spiritual laws, God has a plan for your life. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. God has a plan for each one of our lives, and each one of those plans is 100% different from the person that you're sitting next to, because God deals with individuals. That's why when there's a group of, you know, we've had studies before where there were only, you know, five people showed up or something. I had a teacher that I was going to have come and teach, and she told me that it wasn't enough people for her to come for. May that never be said of any of us, because it is the individual that God looks to, looks out for, and cares for. Jesus Christ offers himself to us as the source of all strength and all power. We can trust him. Take hold of his power for your life. We can only do that by letting go of the things of the world. How many collectors do we have in here? We only got one that's being honest. Okay. Do we collect things? What do we collect? Maybe we collect pictures. Maybe we collect junk. Maybe we collect recipes. Maybe we collect whatever. But we want to be women who just let go. Just let go. It doesn't mean you can't have the recipes. It doesn't mean that you can't have this and you can't have that. It means that that can't have you. And that's what happens so many times when we collect things. If we are to enter into the life more abundant, then we must test everything we do by our love for the Lord Jesus Christ. All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. Can we say that? Can I let go? You know the story of the monkey, how to catch a monkey? To put rice into a jar, and then the monkey puts his hand in the jar and he grabs a hold of the rice and he won't let go of the rice, and it costs him his life. Let's not be people who won't let go of the stuff so that we can save our lives, that our lives would be wholly given to the Lord. Let nothing dim our view of what happened at Calvary. We don't ever want that to be something that that dims in our view. Augustine said, "To myself I will show a heart of steel, to my fellow man a heart of love, and to my God a heart of fire, a heart of flame." I want my heart to be on fire for the Lord, and I know that you do as well. This is the equality of service. This is the quality of service and life for which God is calling from each of his kids. It's that kind of quality of life. That is what is offered to us based on the revelation of the book. We will read in chapter 24, verse 15, as we get into the end of the book. "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. Choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." I don't know what goes on at your house, but as for me and my house, we're serving the Lord. The battle belongs to the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. The Lord is good, and his mercy endures unto all generations. The Lord is good, always good. No matter what our situation, no matter where we're at or what we're doing, God is always good. Just ask Corrie Ten Boom. Those of you who don't know Corrie Ten Boom, you just get The Hiding Place, you read the book, you find out who Corrie Ten Boom is. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and don't lean to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Our retreat this year is going to be called His Redeeming Love. And I always look for that obscure scripture so that someone will look for what else is in that obscure scripture. You know, when we put a things, always have a scripture with our things. But you know what the most important scripture is John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life." We have it in our memory. We know it, and we need to share it at every opportunity possible. And so, Father, I thank you, Lord, that you are faithful, that you are faithful to your word, you are faithful to your promises. You have gone before us, Lord, and you are going to continue to go before us. Lord, we know that the battle belongs to you, that we refuse, in the name of Jesus, we refuse to take that battle on ourselves. We put on our whole armor, our helmet of salvation, our breastplate of righteousness, our belt of truth with the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We have our feet shod with the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we are ready, Lord, for battle. But we know it belongs to you. And we are going to set our sights on you. Because as the days grow darker, as the things around us close in, as the lies reveal themselves, our eyes will be set on you. We will not be swayed this way or that way, but our eyes will be set firmly on you. And we thank you, Lord. You have blessed us more than we deserve. And we thank you and we praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys.
Thank you for listening.
listening to this heart-to-heart women's Bible study recorded at Refuge Calvary Chapel in Huntington Beach. We hope you've been encouraged by today's lesson and will join us again as we continue to study through the Word of God. For more information about the heart-to-heart women's ministry, please visit our website at www.refugefamily.com or call our office at 714-891-9495. In the power of your name, I've given up.